What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own weekly Facebook Live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season being lucky enough to be the host of the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, yesterday we recapped the game and told you all of the ways the Chargers found to blow another second half lead. But on today's show, we're going to be getting into our patented segments for after games, which is what went right and what went wrong. But first, we're going to start with the snap count from this game. So we now have all of the snaps that every player played in this game, and I think there's some interesting ones on there that we need to get into. So we'll start there, and then in the second segment, we'll do what went wrong. I know John can't wait for that segment. I know he has a lot to say there. We also call it John Rants. That's also the name of the second segment, or what went wrong. And then in the third segment, we'll be talking about what went right in this game, because as horrible as it was to rewatch this game, there were some positives to take away from it. And that's how we'll wrap the show up, kind of on a positive note there. But let's go ahead and get into it, guys. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade with David Drogemeyer to bring you the news of the day. But one piece of news that we have is the Chargers' full snap count from Sunday's game against the Texans. And I think it's very interesting because we knew with Adrian Phillips going down last week, the fact that Hunter Henry has already been lost for a significant amount of time, and the other mix and match pieces that are lined up around the Chargers offensively and defensively, that there were going to be some new players we weren't that familiar with playing in this game, but we didn't know exactly how much they would play. So one big thing from this game was that Roderick Teamer actually played 100% of the defensive snaps. For comparison, Desmond King played 88, Joey Bosa played 83. We know with the defensive line that they are always on a rotation and those guys are in there most of the time. But David, we did hear from Anthony Lynn going into this game that Roderick Teamer was going to be on somewhat of a short leash. We saw some mistakes being made by him, being a little bit late in coverage on a touchdown, getting beat on the flea flicker, having his eyes in the backfield on that wheel route where he was beaten by a few steps for a big play. But he never got taken out of the game for Jalen Watkins. Jalen Watkins did play 15 snaps or 25% of the defensive snaps, but he didn't get put on there to take out Roderick Teamer. So, David, we know this coaching staff is reluctant to make in-game changes or even in-season changes with the reluctance to put new guys on the field. Were you surprised at all to see Roderick Teamer, with the mistakes that he made, play 100% of the snaps in this game?
No, I'm not really that surprised, because contrary to Anthony Lynn saying that he would have a short leash, that's not his MO. I mean, he doesn't really take players out, and that's kind of, you know, was evident in that game Sunday. I mean, he did make a number of mistakes, and there were a couple opportunities where they definitely could have taken him out and plugged somebody else in, you know, maybe Jalen Watkins, maybe, you know, switch Rayshon Jenkins over to strong safety and bring in Nazir Adderley, but that didn't happen. And so, yeah, it was a little surprising, but not really, because, again, that just goes against Anthony Lynn's MO as a coach.
Right or wrong, that has been the case for the Chargers, at least over the last few seasons. And some other surprising numbers that are on here are Justin Jackson's share of the load in this game. We wanted to see more Justin Jackson on the field, and in this game, he was on the field for 37% of the snaps, which is an increase from what he was in the games prior to it. Before that, Austin Ekeler was getting about 75% of the snaps at running back. He goes down to 65, and I think that's somewhere around where we would want it, something like that. David, I know you had said that you wanted it to be 60-40, the split between Austin Ekeler and Justin Jackson. Austin Ekeler is obviously the better pass catcher of the two, but Justin Jackson has been the better runner. He went into that game averaging almost 9 yards a carry and leading the NFL in that mark. And in this game, we saw a little bit more equality as far as the snap counts went. You even saw them on the field at the same time for a play. That was nice to see. But at the end of the day, David, Justin Jackson has a couple of plays where he goes negative yardage. And I think they like Austin Ekeler because he doesn't often take negative yards on running plays. But at the same time, Justin Jackson has to be on the field because of that home run threat, because of that big play ability in the running game. And at least the Chargers coaching staff looks like it's coming to more of an equal split, even if we never truly wanted to be a 50-50 split.
I don't want a 50-50 split. Like I mentioned, I think a 60-40 would be good. But yeah, I mean, Justin Jackson's home run ability, his quickness, his elusiveness, his ability to just see a hole and just explode through it. You just want to see that more often. I mean, there's just so many plays where he's just a missed tackle or one cut away from taking it to the house. And you've seen on a couple of different occasions already that the only thing that stopped him has been penalties. So you want to see that ability on the field more than it has been, and it's trending in the right direction. And I think they just uptick it just a little bit more. That's right around where I'd like it to be.
Some of the percentages that you don't like to see on this list or snap counts would be Forrest Lamp only getting in on 3 snaps in this game, 4% of the offensive snaps. And then you have Jerry Tillery, the team's first round draft pick, who they expected big things from, not really showing up so far in this season and going down to 38% of the snaps defensively in this game. And then, of course, you have Drew Tranquil and Nazir Adderley, who both didn't get a snap defensively. And hopefully that changes, because the Chargers need to do something on the back end to create some sort of change, because they had a very uninspiring performance last week. Yes, some of that is coaching. Yes, that is players not being in the right place at the right time, and that can be fixable, but you don't have the playmakers out there that are able to erase those mistakes. On one of the touchdowns, you had DeAndre Hopkins and the tight end Akins wide open, and Rayshon Jenkins just standing in between them, covering no one in the middle of the field. Those things can't happen, and it surprises me to see, even with those mistakes, these players not really ever getting held accountable for it and playing 100% of the snaps instead of letting someone else get in there. You also have Thomas Davis, again, playing 100% of the snaps for this defense, and I thought he played well, especially in the running game, but I still think it's too much to have a veteran of Thomas Davis's age in there for. I don't think you're getting the most out of Thomas Davis when you do that. And lastly, we had a new player in Lance Kendrick come into the fold this week. He gets 15% of the snaps. That could be partially because Virgil Green was injured in this game and only got 27 snaps in this game. And the other one is Denzel Perryman, who hadn't played defensively all season, gets in on 63% of the snaps in this game, and Kazir White goes down to 7 snaps, which is only 12%. So that's another thing we'll have to monitor going forward. But we do have 2 more segments, getting into 2 of our favorite segments: what went wrong and then what went right. But first, I need to tell you guys that if you have an idea of what the Chargers are going to do, or any NFL team is going to do, you should probably go and put some money on it and win some money. And the best way to do that is with MyBookie. Game-winning touchdowns on 2-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing else like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. Do the smart thing. Go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sportsbook. I wouldn't be telling you guys to bet with MyBookie if I didn't bet with them myself, and if they weren't the best. I've won money with MyBookie. John's won money with MyBookie. And if you join now, MyBookie will even double your first deposit. All you have to do is go to mybookie.ag and enter the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON, and they will double your first deposit. You put $100 in, they will match it with another $100 at mybookie.ag today with the promo code LOCKEDON. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. I also want to send a shout out to a sponsor who renewed this year and decided to sponsor the Locked On Chargers podcast again, and that is Metro Infinity in Los Angeles, the best dealership in LA. And you have to swing by their brand new multi-million dollar facility and check out the amazing selection of not only new but used cars as well. They are the number one volume dealer in California, which speaks for itself. But one of my favorite parts about Metro Infinity, if you don't like coming into the dealership, it's no problem at all, because they will bring your new car to you with the paperwork to your home or office and complete the whole transaction. since you listen to the Locked On Chargers podcast. If you go into the dealership and mention Locked On, they will take another $500 off of their already good prices. They take pride in not being your typical car dealer where it takes hours to buy a car. They don't play games, and they want their customers to have a luxury car buying experience. Trust me, guys, these guys get it. You can reach them at 626-599-7510 or metroinfinity.com. And right now, you can lease a new Infiniti Q50 3.0 luxury loaded with navigation with only $1,000 down at $325 a month plus tax. That's $1,000 down and a low monthly payment. Plus, mention the Locked On Chargers podcast and you can get an extra $500 off. All right, guys, time to get into the next segment, talking about what went wrong. And I know John was hyped for this segment, so we have a lot to talk about here, but I'm going to go ahead and clear the runway for John to get in exactly what he thought went wrong with this game. So, John, the floor is yours. The microphone is yours. Tell us exactly what went wrong in this game for the Chargers.
Let's start with, we had a really predictable game plan that we never went away from. And it bugged me because this is the kind of stuff that Mike McCoy used to do a lot. And it was the reason why we are begging for him to disappear. Being conservative, having a predictable game plan, get rid of Mike McCoy. This game, we had that kind of game. Our game plan was so predictable. We were so conservative with how we were moving the ball until like the last couple of drives where we were desperate to get points. But before that, it was a couple of runs, a fullback run. We rarely actually took shots deep. And if we did, it was a 12-yard route. It was so predictable. And Jahlil Adai is on the Texans team. So he knows some things about the Chargers that he probably told his coaching staff, like where Rivers tends to struggle. What's the best way to stop Rivers? What kind of routes do they like to run? And here we are doing the same exact thing, even though it's obvious the Bears are mirroring our receivers. And on top of that, if we even made a play against the Texans, like a pretty good play or even a first down run or a touchdown, here comes the penalties. Same thing against the Lions that beat us. We make a play, we get a penalty. And this has been happening for the past few years. And Anthony Lynn still has not fixed this, along with not putting in his important players that are pretty good, like Drew Tranquil, or Nazir Adderley, or Forrest Lamp, or using more of your playmakers like Justin Jackson in more like first and 10 situations, and then setting up Austin Ekeler to make his big plays. You're just using the same exact guys over and over again. It's becoming predictable, and I'm starting to blame Anthony Lynn for these losses now. There's no way I'm going to start blaming the players. I am blaming Anthony Lynn, and I might be on the fire Anthony Lynn bandwagon pretty soon.
Well, I think from what you're saying, you also blame Ken Whisenhunt as well, correct?
I'd blame him some. I would say like a 70-30 because Ken Whisenhunt is also going off of Anthony Lynn's stuff. So if Anthony Lynn wants to play with this weak offensive line, Whisenhunt has to do something with that, and he's going off of Lynn's game plan. But at the same time, Whisenhunt does have the right to change some plays, but it's all of what Anthony Lynn wants to do. So I blame Anthony Lynn more. If you bring in another coach, I'm not saying to do it now, but if you were to bring another coach in, Whisenhunt would have to go off of what that coach wants to do. And what if that coach has a better game plan and now all of a sudden Whisenhunt's offense is moving? You no longer blame Whisenhunt.
I understand where you're coming from. Absolutely. And I think that one of the biggest things, John, that really points a spotlight at the coaching staff is the adjustments made at halftime. Because so far in every game, the other team's coaching staff has gone in and come out with a game plan against you that's been successful. So whether that's Gus Bradley on the defensive side or Ken Whisenhunt on the offensive side, neither one of those sides of the ball has played well in the second half of these games. And you can blame turnovers and everything else, but we have seen some stale play calling in the second half of these games. I thought in the first half, when the Chargers were up 17-7, I thought the play calling was fantastic. I thought they had some really creative plays that got the Chargers chunk plays when they needed them. And unfortunately, later on in the game, it seemed like that all went away and it became the predictable offense that we've seen the Chargers get in trouble with.
I would argue that that first half offense was not that good. We had one decent drive that led to a touchdown, but we had penalties help us. And then our other touchdown drive was given to us because I don't know why Deshaun Watson did it, but he threw a ball backwards to a screen guy, and it was a fumble at like the 20-yard line to start. So the offense didn't really do that well in the first half. There might have been some pretty good play calls, but as far as moving the ball, We only moved the ball for one long touchdown drive because penalties helped us.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I know they definitely were gifted a touchdown in the first half, and the first drive of each game for the Chargers has not gone well for them. So there's definitely some blame to be passed along with that. But I did see some plays that I liked in the first half. I didn't see very many that I liked in the second half, especially, David, when the Chargers got away from the running game. And when you're letting your quarterback get sacked five times like the Chargers did in this game, and you allow J.J. Watt to have 2.5 sacks, it's hard not to say that's part of the problem or what went wrong. And the most frustrating part about it, David, is that you knew going into this that J.J. Watt was a problem, and you still let him get to you for 2.5 sacks. I don't care how many sacks he had going into the game. J.J. Watt is one of the premier defenders in the league, and you knew it was going to be a problem for your offensive line, and you still allowed him to get 2.5 sacks on Phillip Rivers.
Yeah, no, I kind of echo the sentiments of John. I didn't like the play calling too much, but I was actually going to flip over to the defensive side. I think they effectively stopped the run, but they did not adjust to the passing game. Deshaun Watson threw for over 350 yards, and that's because they didn't make defensive adjustments to put defenders in the right position. And part of that is not having the right people in the game, but also them the coaching staff not putting those players in the best positions to succeed. But yeah, I mean, absolutely, the blocking on the offensive line, they knew who they were going up against. J.J. Watt, Whitney Mercilus, who has been destroying offensive lines, and J.J. Watt's been doing it for a long, long time. Whitney Mercilus actually kind of has been waiting for Jadeveon Clowney to get out of the way so he can play that same position, and he's definitely ran with it. But the blocking was terrible. They didn't do anything to help the blocking. They didn't chip effectively. It was really bad.
And if we're going to talk about the defensive side, let's talk about how horrible we were at tackling the QB. I saw like highlights of Jameis Winston breaking all of our tackles in like 2016 all over again, when Melvin Ingram and all those guys would get after him like 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he breaks away and somehow finds a way to convert 3rd and 13. Deshaun Watson was pulling the same kind of things in this game. It's pretty ridiculous that we cannot tackle a QB when we have a Joey Bosa and a Melvin Ingram. We have such good defensive linemen this year. They're not great, but we have two that are great, but we have good ones in the middle. Even one of them, Brandon Mebane, even had a sack in this game. We got to the quarterback, and you could not tackle them. And then on top of that, once you started realizing that Deshaun Watson was getting away and making plays on the run, you still stuck with a zone defense and allowed everything to be open. There was a 34-yard play to DeAndre Hopkins on the drive that the Texans took the lead, where they left the middle wide open. No linebacker to cover, nothing. The middle was just wide open, and it was a zone defense, and DeAndre Hopkins breaks across the middle, catches a ball with no one within 20 yards of him, and just takes off running and gets tackled close to the end zone. But you've got to be kidding me right now with how conservative we've become. What happened to the aggressive Chargers, though? We're going to send Bosa and Ingram after you with maybe one other guy like a Kazir White or Desmond King, and you're going to have to beat this team with the man coverage. And then we start off the game with bend, don't break. But once we figure out what you're doing and where your weakness is, we're attacking that, and we're going to make you beat us where your weakness is. What happened to that?
Well, when you're playing primarily zone coverage, one thing that comes along with that is the ability to get pressure on the quarterback. If you give any quarterback that amount of time and you're letting them escape the pocket and break tackles in the backfield and break out of sacks, you're going to get picked apart, and their other team is going to find those soft spots in the zone. But if you're able to get pressure and they have to throw balls they're not ready to throw, they don't have time to read that kind of coverage and know exactly who's going to sit in the right spot of that zone coverage. So I think that really goes hand in hand. And if we're talking about the defensive line, we just simply flatly have to have better. Deshaun Watson from Aaron Reese on Twitter: Deshaun Watson faced pressure on just 13.9% of his dropbacks against the Chargers. That's the lowest rate of any game in his entire NFL career. That is ridiculous. You have two premier edge rushers. Joey Bosa gets half a sack. That's not good enough. You have drafted Jerry Tillery to be able to create some pressure inside, and the only thing you have is Brandon Mebane getting a sack after Deshaun Watson already is stepping farther up into the pocket, and he kind of got lucky to some extent. It was a great play. He waited for him to try to break through the pocket, but that's not because Brandon Mebane tossed the center out of the way and got a sack. That's because he kind of ran into it in some ways. So that has to be changed for the Chargers, especially in the second half. You end up getting that sack, but the Chargers in the second half need to figure it out. 3 points in the fourth quarter all year long, 10 points in the second half all season long. The turnovers have to stop. The penalties have to stop. And you have to be able to go out there in the second half and win these games and not just try to not lose the game, which is what we've seen the Chargers do through three games this season. So we do have to lower my blood pressure and get into the next segment of what went right before I explode on this podcast right now. But a lot went wrong in this game. So it's very easy to understand why we're getting so much in this segment, because in a game like this, there's much more that went wrong than what went right. But we do have one more segment to get into. And first, I want to tell you guys that if you're feeling like the Chargers lost and you're really just not in the mood, but your girlfriend is all over you, I have an idea for you guys. You can get in the mood by using BlueChew.com. That's blue, like the color blue. All of a sudden, you can feel like the Chargers just lost, or you can feel like Austin Ekeler just beat the Colts in overtime with BlueChew.com. It's the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill. So you can be ready whenever the opportunity arises, even if the Chargers break your heart on Sunday. The best part about Blue Chew is it's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than the pharmacy as well. Right now, we have a special deal for our listeners. If you go to BlueChew.com, you can get your first shipment for free when you use the special promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 to get the shipping. The product is free. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. All right, guys, time to get into the final segment of the show today, talking about what went right in this game. And it's hard to pick out the good notes on a game where everything went so sour, but there were some really positive things that happened in this game. I mean, especially if you want to look at Keenan Allen, who I'm sure we'll get into. But David, when we're talking about what went right in this game, I know it was hard to watch, but did you take away any positive notes from what you saw on Sunday?
Absolutely. I saw some positive things. I mean, yeah, it was a bit difficult to pick out, but obviously Keenan Allen had a monster game. But besides Keenan Allen, I think Phillip Rivers actually played fairly well on this one. I mean, I know he had the fumble, but he made a lot of great plays, and you know, he got hit hard a lot. This offensive line did not help him at all, and he took a lot of big shots, and he continued to try to push the ball down the football field. So for me, the first thing that went right in this one is that Phillip Rivers showed his trademark toughness and, frankly, had a really good game on Sunday.
Yeah, he was sacked 5 times and still ended up completing almost 70% of his passes, goes 2 touchdowns, doesn't have an interception in this game, which had been a problem, but he does fumble it in Texans territory, which is basically just as bad. He also had another ball that should have been intercepted on the last drive by Jonathan Joseph when he was targeting Travis Benjamin. And if there's one thing we know, if you're targeting Travis Benjamin, something good probably isn't going to come away from that. But another thing that we have to touch on, John, besides what you have, what went right, is the Chargers run defense. If there's one thing that you can really say it really improved in this game, it was the run defense. And I think Denzel Perryman had a direct link to that. We were saying that Denzel Perryman is a difference in the running game. He ends up getting 6 tackles. They didn't credit him for a tackle for loss, but I thought he had at least 1 tackle for loss in this game. And the other big thing that I saw, John, and you can talk about what you thought went right as well, but Denzel Perryman's stopping power. I'm used to seeing Chargers get hit and the running back taking them for an extra 2 or 3 yards. So now it's 2nd and 6 instead of 2nd and 9. The one thing you saw with Denzel Perryman outside of one really bad missed tackle where he let the ball carrier get outside was the ability to have that stopping power that once they hit Perryman, they weren't going anywhere else. And that was a sight for sore eyes because the Chargers haven't had that in a while. And he absolutely showed up, him and Thomas Davis, in the running game.
Perryman was surprisingly really good at getting through the holes in this game for not playing the first 2 games, really. Like, he was suited up, but he didn't really play. And first drive, he was already getting through the hole and getting to the running back and making the tackle. And you already saw the difference first drive in the running game, the difference he was making. And the fact that he's still on that level after all these injuries, missing a couple of games, just shows how hard he's working. He's got to be able to play all the games to make a difference for us. If he doesn't, we're going to go right back to that Colts and Lions game where we were struggling a little bit with the run, especially the Colts game. If he plays, I think it's going to be strictly a, what do we do about our pass defense? We don't have Derwin James, Adrian Phillips, and all those guys healthy. What do we do about the passing game? We got Perryman to stop the run. What do we do about the passing game? That becomes a lot easier to fix things. And if you want to talk about something else that went right, I mean, besides the first half, yeah, you got to go with Keenan Allen outperforming DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. DeAndre Hopkins is considered top five, if not just top three, yeah, wide receiver in the whole league. And Keenan Allen just outperformed him. Kenny Stills was the Texans' leading receiver on the day with 89 yards. And DeAndre Hopkins only had 67.
Combined. So by proxy, do we give some credit to Casey Hayward?
Combined, Keenan Allen still has more yards than both of them with 183 yards. He was leading this team with 13 receptions, leading him up and down the field and helping Rivers out. There was times the receivers stopped in their tracks and waited for Rivers to do something while scrambling out of the pocket. Keenan was still trying to find a way to stay open. Keenan deserves a lot of credit for this game.
He deserves a million times credit. 13 catches, 183 yards, and 2 touchdowns, and getting into the end zone. I have some stats for you guys right here with Keenan Allen. He has 13 catches for 183 yards in this game, 2 touchdowns. So far this year, he has 29 catches for 404 yards and 3 touchdowns. In the first 3 games of 2018, he had 17 catches for 218 yards and 1 touchdown. He's almost doubled the yardage and has 3 times as many touchdowns as he did through 3 games last year. Keenan Allen only had 1 touchdown in the first 8 games last year. He has 3 through 3 games this year. If you don't think Keenan Allen is one of the top 5 receivers in the NFL with his ability to score touchdowns, which we said he would have to do to put his name amongst the elite, and he's done it. And he's going to continue to do it if it's anything like we saw on Sunday. Right now, he is the only option. I think that also goes with what went wrong, having Mike Williams not go for over 3 catches so far this season. That's a story for another time. But Keenan Allen absolutely kept the Chargers in this game. Where the only reason they were successful with his 2 first half touchdowns is the only really true calling card this offense has right now to success. It's Keenan Allen and not much else right now from the Chargers offense. And you're right, David. We have to shout out what Casey Hayward did against DeAndre Hopkins, because Desmond King was actually in coverage when DeAndre Hopkins made the only big play he made all day. When Casey Hayward was covering him, he had 5 catches for 33 yards for arguably a top 3, top 2 receiver, depending on who you ask. So Casey Hayward deserves a ton of credit. Casey Hayward is absolutely back to where he was before last season, and Keenan Allen is reaching levels that we've never seen him reach before. And it's a damn shame that the Chargers are 1-2 with what Keenan Allen has been offensively this year, unstoppable even against the league's best corners. But that is going to wrap things up for today. Until next time, guys, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers. And if you guys want to vent about this game or ask any questions, you can either hit us up on the Locked On LAC and ask us questions on Twitter for a mail segment, or you can hit up the Locked On Chargers voicemail line at 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail gets their voice played on the show. But until next time, guys, make sure to subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast from. You can find the Locked On Chargers podcast there. And we will talk to you tomorrow on Crossover Wednesday with the Locked On Dolphins. But until then, take it easy and go Bolts.